This is an interview in the Black History in the Upper Piedmont Project. We're talking on July 28, 1990, in Anderson, South Carolina, at the home of the interviewee. Let me ask, sir, your name.
L-E-W-I-S-D is in Dave Moorhead. We're Moorhead, M-O-O-R-H-E-A-D.
Mm-hmm. And your address?
1104 Power. P-O-W-E-R, not Tower, but Power Street.
In our chatting a little while earlier, we discovered a couple of connections from way back. Your backyard, I believe, jutted that of my uncle from Calhoun.
That is
John
correct.
John W. Smith.
That's correct.
He was born, I'm told, in the old residence part of Calhoun Corners back in 1899, and named, by the way, for his uncle who died just a few months before and who had built the building. You also told me you used to see my mother, Ina.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see her at the First Baptist at Clemson.
Mm-hmm. When did you go to Clemson?
I entered Clemson in the fall of 1926.
Okay, I want to ask you, if I may, when you were born and where. This is going to be important when we start talking.
Born 1 mile east of Sandy Springs on August 28, 1908.
And you tell me, I believe, that the old home place is still standing.
Still in the family.
And a photograph at the Pendleton District Historical and Recreational Commission.
Correct.
Okay. What is your profession?
Photographer.
How long have you been doing that?
Since December 1931, including almost 4 years as U.S. Army Air Corps photographer during World War II.
And all of that time, except for the war, working in Anderson.
Correct.
I'd like to ask you several different things. First, since this is a Black History Project, when you were growing up, say when you were a teenager and when you went to Clemson, did you know of any Black photographers in this region?
None at all at that time.
When was the first one you heard of?
In the 1980s, I believe, is the first one I knew of.
And his name?
His name was Phil Leavitt, but he's moved away to Charleston.
And how do you spell his name?
L-E-V-E-R-E-T-T-E, Leavitt.
He had a studio in
He had a studio Anderson. Here in Anderson.
Was he himself from Anderson?
I'm sure that he was.
What age man?
He would be about 45 now, I expect.
So as far as you know, for most of the last, I guess, 80 or 90 years now, there was not a Black photographer residing in this area.
That is correct.
There's recently been published a book about a famous Black photographer, famous now because of his work in the publication in Columbia. Roberts, did you ever have occasion to run across and know about him?
I've never known about him.
Well, in this more immediate area, where were there resident photographers? In
well,
Anderson, I presume?
There was several in Anderson.
What other?
Call it Collins Studio, mm-hmm. and Green Studio, and Wallace Studio.
Those were the three earliest
yes,
ones.
Yes, yes.
Do you know, by any chance, which of those was the first one?
I think Collins was the first one.
How far back does it go?
It goes back to about 1908.
Mm-hmm. What other towns in this upper part of the state would have had resident photographers?
Pelzer had a good photographer. I'm not sure how far back the date would reach, but his name was Snipes, S-N-I-P-E-S. Of course, he's dead now.
Greenville, I presume?
Beg your pardon?
Greenville would have had photographers?
Oh, yeah, yes. They had photographers, and one of them, as I remember, from my youth up, was named Orr Studio.
Any others?
Downing, D-O-W-N-I-N-G, Downing Studio.
What about towns like Seneca, Westminster, Clemson, Easley? Would they have had photographers early in the century?
Well, Yes, Bruce Bear was photographer in Seneca, but he only started sometime in, maybe about 1940. And he has since retired.
Roughly 1920, do you think there would have been photographers in any towns other than Anderson and Greenville up this way?
Well, yes, I believe Snipes would have been at Pell's at that time.
But not most of the smaller towns like Seneca, Westminster, Clemson, Easley.
Right.
So how would those people have gotten photographed?
Well, during that day, horse and buggy days, they had itinerant photographers who traveled around from house to house, made pictures. Some of them had a pony or a horse, and they'd put the child up on the pony or the horse and take his picture.
Well, with these itinerant photographers, would they take indoor or outdoor pictures, or would they have any type of props? Or
Outdoor pictures only.
Mm-hmm. So no props, no setting?
No, the only props would be a pony or a horse.
Something I know far too little about is the technology of photography. I presume you're talking about a period roughly the beginning of the century?
Yeah.
And what type of camera would first the itinerant photographers have been using?
Well, a lot of the residents of that era, they used what they call a box-type camera. And I expect some of the itinerant photographers also used a box-type camera.
Describe for us, if you will, what you mean by a box-type camera.
It was in the shape of a box, almost a square box. And then later on, they developed a Bellis-type camera, had a Bellis on it.
Would either of these have been the type we see in movies, the old style, on a tripod and a drape cloth over it? Or is that earlier?
No, really. They had cameras back in that era that they did put the cloth over the head. But not many people knew how to use them.
Let's take your own family as an example. Do you know when is the earliest photograph your family had made?
The itinerant photographer came around to our home in about 1912, mm-hmm. in that area. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't take pictures inside because he didn't have any flash bulb or anything. We had to stand outside. And he held up a big shade behind us for a background. I remember that.
You were just a small boy.
Just a small boy, about that high.
Are you telling me, I think, that your family had never had any photographs taken before?
That's correct.
So your grandparents, for example, were not documented?
No, that's right.
Do you by any chance remember or know his name, the itinerant photographer?
One of them was Mr. Davenport, that's all I can remember. His name was Davenport.
Where did he live?
He later obtained a job in Atlanta selling picture frames.
Where did he come from?
I think from Atlanta, in that area.
So do you think when he took your picture in 1912, this was part of a long circuit all the way from Atlanta?
I think so.
Quite a long way.
Yeah, that's right.
Did the photograph have his name on the back of it?
I'm not sure about that, but I talked to his niece by marriage this morning. She still lives here in Anderson, Miss Carolyn Hodges.
So he was from a family in this area?
Yeah, he married a lady who was reared in Anderson County. He married a Miss Reed.
Obviously, he could not have developed the photograph on the spot.
No.
How long would it take before the family might have gotten the photograph?
Perhaps a month or 6 weeks.
Do you remember when your family or you first had a camera?
Well, I believe along about 1925 we had a box camera.
would this be a different version from the one that the professional photographer would use?
Somewhat smaller.
And at that time, you were living in Sandy Springs?
Yes.
Or near there?
Yeah, 1 mile east of Sandy Springs.
Where could you get film?
Well, you could buy film at the drugstore.
In Sandy Springs?
Well, not at Sandy Springs. We didn't have a drugstore. But you could buy them in Anderson at the drugstore.
So there would have to be, you'd have to travel some distance back then to be able to get film.
That's right.
If you did not live in one of the larger
either
cities.
Travel from Sandy Springs to Pendleton or to Anderson.
But where in Pendleton could you buy it?
Evans Drugstore.
And where would you get it processed?
Well, a Green Studio in Anderson. Mm-hmm. They processed the roll film back in that day.
How long did they need?
Well, they'd want about 10 days, 2 weeks.
Would they mail them to you?
Mail them to me.
When do you think people in this area first began having box cameras at home to use just for themselves?
Well, of course, that would be about 1917, 18, I believe they began to buy them, even a little before that time.
Within my own family, the first candid shots taken apparently are those by a camera owned by Charlie Bennett around 1920 or 1921.
Yeah.
And maybe he had it before he came to Clemson College, because there are a few of Army fellows from World War I, so he may have got it just at the tail end of the war. I have observed, as best I can judge the photographs we're looking at, that most of the very early photographs of black people in this area are more formal pictures, and it's somewhat later, roughly the 1920s, I judge, or perhaps even later, before we get candid shots. So that would accord with what you're saying about the development of photography.
That's correct.
Did people say at the time you had your picture taken in 1912 tend to prefer more formal shots?
Yes, there was formal shots taken at the studios here in Anderson even then. They used a skylight for the light. They didn't use artificial light as we do today.
But what about for your own picture? Did your mother scrub everybody and get them all dressed up?
Oh, he got them got me dressed up with a big bow tie.
One of the striking photographs we have seen of a black family was taken in Seneca. Apparently, there was a studio there at least for a while, and I'm talking off the top of my head, but I'm gathering this was about 1915, perhaps. It's a family of 15 children, all dressed up just as you're describing, and the two parents, suits, ties, fancy dresses, and we have another one from about the same vintage from Pendleton. Well, let me show you one photo we have and see if you can guess anything about this. This belongs to a family in Clemson. This is of what appears to be a fairly old woman in what I judge to be also fairly old frame, and the nails on it have been there a long time.
I believe this is an enlargement, perhaps, of a previously made photograph.
Now, the photograph we're looking at is in an oval frame, and it's probably about 18 inches high, I would guess.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And the picture itself probably was taken before 1915. That'd be my guess.
What makes you think that?
By the dress and the appearance of the picture.
What specifically in the picture appearance?
It appears that it was made maybe in daylight, because it looks like a building in the background.
A rough wood building.
Yeah, rough wood building. That's correct.
Do you think this would have been taken with a box camera?
It could have been, yes, it could have been.
Or what would be the other alternatives?
Well, it would have been maybe they were developing the cameras with the Bellis on them. It could have been made with one of those.
Mm-hmm. What was, well, let's look a little bit more. What age would you guess this woman to be?
Well, she'd have to be pretty close to 80 or above, I believe.
What is the earliest you think this photograph could have been taken?
Earliest would be about 1912 or somewhere in that area.
So you think it couldn't have been taken many years before or after 1915? It has to be fairly close to that
date. That's right.
And if she is 80, then that means she might have been born somewhere around 1830,
1835. That's right.
So she goes pretty far back.
Yes, her date would be way back.
Do you think this would be a fairly typical photograph for, say, 1915?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen many from that period of black people?
No, very few, if any.
Well, it is rather surprising and exciting to me to find out how many photographs the black community has around. And apparently, from what you're telling us, almost all of the photographs of that era for this immediate vicinity would have had to have been made for by white photographers. There's also another set of photographs that belongs to the Pickens County Historical Society. And I'd like to get your reaction first to their vintage.
I'd say they were taken between 1900 and 1918.
Could you tell us, please, why you would put it in that time period?
The reason is because that period of time, they pasted their pictures on the maps rather than to have a cover on them. And that would be my estimate on that.
But what about the tones of the photograph? That would also lead you to the same conclusion?
That has some bearing on my conclusion to that fact, but I think rather than toning them brown, I think they've turned a yellow from age. Mm-hmm. And that's my opinion.
So these may not represent very well the way they would have looked
when they were made
70 or more years ago.
That's right.
The label attached to these in the Pickens County Historical Society says it is the next to the last public hanging, apparently a legal execution in Pickens County, and it shows a set of 9 photographs, starting with the first one with a black man who's not too old, perhaps in his 20s or 30s, being led out from a brick building, probably the old jail, and some people nearby with a rope at hand, and then later on a formal gallows having been erected. Do you remember hearing anything about such types of episodes?
I've heard about it. But never read. Well, I've read some of the history about it. And I couldn't give you an idea of what years those were.
Do you remember hearing stories about that type of thing very often when you were young?
Very seldom.
Let's go back and ask a few more things about you as an example of the time.
Yeah.
Where did you learn photography?
With Green Studio in Anderson.
Did you work for them?
Worked for Green Studio.
That was starting in what?
December 1931.
31, a few years after you left.
Yeah.
Right after you left Clemson College.
Yeah.
Did you know anything about photography when you arrived there?
Well, yes. I studied mechanical drawing, freehand drawing, general chemistry at Clemson, and also physics and I use all that in photography.
But you hadn't had any particular training in photography?
No, not directly.
Did the schools or Clemson College back then offer courses in photography?
They did not.
Not in this area?
Not in this area.
I've looked recently at some catalogs from Allen University, which had some industrial courses in photography.
Yeah.
But around here, somebody would have to learn it from another photographer at the studio.
That's exactly right.
How long did it take you to pick up the rudiments of photography?
Well, after 2 years training, I was able to photograph weddings.
So they didn't turn you loose on those for a while?
No, that's right.
Did you work only in the studio and at places like weddings, or did you do any semi-itinerant travel like we were talking about before? Would you go off to Pendleton or Sandy Springs or any of the other nearby towns?
I visited the schools in the towns, but I also visited the mill villages here in Anderson and go from door to door photographing their children or the family if they want any meat.
Did that pay good money?
Yeah, well, then it did. Anything we made was good then.
Well, I hope you've saved some of those photos. I'm sure they'd be priceless today.
Yeah, I'm sure the families have some of them.
When you were working at Green Studio, did black people go there to have their photographs taken?
Yes, they did.
When you first started working, they were going there?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Not many had the money to pay for them, but few did.
So you think photography at the studio would have been out of the price range of the black people?
I believe so.
Did you ever go door to door in any of the black communities?
No, I did not.
How come?
Well, nobody ever hinted that they wanted me to come in their community and take pictures.
Did you ever do black weddings?
Oh, yes, yes.
Do you remember the earliest that you did one of those?
Yes, I believe along about 1935.
In Anderson?
In Anderson.
Do you by chance remember the site and the people?
Right offhand, I couldn't even tell you the name of the church.
It was a church?
Yes.
Right in downtown Anderson? Or?
Yeah. Could have been St. Paul First Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. Since I've made many weddings there, it could have been there. Mm-hmm.
Some places, and I know nothing about this immediate area, and in varying types of cultures in the United States, would take photographs of people in the casket. Did you ever do that for either white or black families?
Yes. I've looked in the face of more deceased people than anybody except the undertaker.
Did you do that for both? Were both white and black families having that done?
Yeah, both.
So it was pretty much similar custom in both types of families,
yes.
Both races.
The way the family figured, it was the last thing they could have done for that particular person.
For the black families, would this be in the church before a funeral, or would it be at the mortuary?
Most usually at the mortuary, sometimes at the church. But I remember one Sunday about 15 years ago, I made 5 funerals on one Sunday morning. Mm. I took 5 deceased people because snow was on the ground. People couldn't drive from Atlanta to Anderson or Greenville, and so they wanted pictures of the flowers, you know, to keep.
In the early visits you made to black mortuaries, where were the black mortuaries in Anderson?
Well, the main one was W.I. Peake's mortuary on Church Street. Of course, it's been eliminated now.
Was that functioning when you first started working for Greene's?
Yes, it was.
So it goes pretty far back.
It goes pretty far back.
Well, if you have any examples of some of your black either funerals or weddings that you've covered, I'd be fascinated in looking at some of them.
Okay, would you like to cut the...
Okay, we'll pause for a minute and get some of those to look
at. Cut it off an hour.
We've been looking at some photographs, but we've also started talking during the pause about photography at Clemson, so let me ask you some things about that. When you were at Clemson, who took the annual photos?
White Studio.
From?
I think they were from Philadelphia or either Atlanta, I'm not sure on that.
So did they have a major contract to do colleges throughout the whole area?
Yeah.
What about the candid shots in the taps? Would the students been taking those?
Students made those with small box cameras or something, maybe a folding type Bellis camera.
My mother and father were at college in the 20s, and I don't know why, but the taps had far more interesting candid shots than did Winthrop College of that era. Did they process these on campus, or would they have to send them off to a laboratory?
I think they sent them off to a laboratory.
Well, you're also talking a little bit, tell me about Mr. Barnett, if you will, at Clemson.
Mr. Barnett was actually a weaver at La France, and he started making pictures at his house, and he liked it so well, and his business grew, and he thought his health would be better if he started making pictures for a living and got out of the mill. And then he established his studio at Clemson.
During World War II?
During World War II.
What age man was he?
At that time, he was about my age, maybe not quite. He was born about 1912, I believe.
Would his health have been a reason why he wasn't in the war?
Could have been.
Was his studio in Clemson primarily for college purposes or for the local community?
For the local community.
Do you have any idea how long he kept his studio there?
I'd say 20 years or more.
We have some old photos that he took, and apparently I was one of his earlier projects at his studio when I was a baby.
Yeah.
Do you think his studio would have been the first resident photographic studio in Clemson?
I do. I think his was his first resident studio.
We talked earlier about places like Liberty, Easley, Pendleton, Townville, Fairplay, Seneca. Would, by World War II times, would they have had resident studios?
Yes, I think so.
So by that time, photography then was fairly readily available for
Yes,
it was. When did Jack Tar come along? Jack Rabbit.
Jack Rabbit. Well, I think they inaugurated their business long about World War II.
Well, that certainly must have helped people considerably, too, where they could do it by mail order from a place like that.
That's right.
My sense is that their prices were probably cheaper than others around. Was that right?
That's correct. They base their prices on doing volume work.
Do you have any idea when schools in this area public schools would have first introduced photography as a course?
Well, I think Tri-County Tech, Pendleton would be the first one to introduce photography in schools, and I'm not sure what year they inaugurated there.
What about high schools, say in Anderson or Greenville or other larger towns?
I doubt if they had any courses that amounted to very much. They might have touched on photography, but I doubt whether they taught any real courses on photography.
We've been looking at some quite impressive things that you've done, so I'm going to force you to be modest. Other than perhaps yourself, who do you think has been the best photographer in the first half of the century in this whole part of South Carolina?
Well, the Wallace Studios, they had a good record, and so did Green Studio.
Specific photographers, can you give us names of people?
Well, G.I. Green was the owner of Green Studio, and Harry Wallace was the owner of Wallace Studio in Anderson.
So they, you think, would have been some of the best in this area?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I thank you for your time, and particularly helping to date these old, and I think you would agree, interesting black photographs. We will have lots of others in exhibit I hope you'll have a chance to see.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.